They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Being more careful with money these days, well, it's a thing. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. It's a bit like Apple iOS versus Android. A big measure of inflation is the Consumer Price Index, but there's competition from a rival. That measure of inflation is called the PCE, the Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index. Out today, it shows prices up 6.3% in the year through May, on par with what we'd seen in April. This PCE thing gets the attention of America's central bankers and therefore other players in financial markets. Diane Swonk is chief economist at the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton. Good morning.
Good morning.
So we know more about inflation here, but we also know a little bit more about we consumers and how much we're spending. And we're not spending as much as the experts thought. So I guess the Fed is pulling this off. Things are slowing.
Well, they're slowing, yes. And in fact, they were revised down for the last 2 months on consumer spending as well, even as incomes were revised up. So that was an interesting shift. We saw consumer spending in the month of May actually contract after adjusting for inflation, which means the burn of inflation is actually starting to hit consumers. The only category that we saw consumer spending increase relative to inflation was spending on services. And we know Memorial Day weekend was a big travel weekend.
We're spooked by that, we consumers. The market is spooked by that. But this is going according to plan at some level. This is what our central bankers want to happen in the fight against inflation.
They do want to cool demand, and unfortunately, they're now in the position of having to cool demand to meet a supply-constrained economy. The question is it going to cool it evenly enough to bring prices down? Of course, the Fed can't grow food or pump oil. They have no say over that, which means they have to disproportionately hit overall demand everywhere else.
Diane Swonk, Chief Economist, Grant Thornton, thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's the final day of the NATO summit in Madrid, where leaders have endorsed plans to strengthen forces in Eastern Europe in response to Russia's war in Ukraine. Russian President Vladimir Putin said today NATO had better not build new infrastructure there. Meanwhile, an update on sanctions. A new report from the British Parliament finds the government there is lax when it comes to policing financial sanctions. The BBC's Gordon Carrera has more.
It is shameful that it has taken a war to galvanize the government into action on dirty money flowing into the UK, the Foreign Affairs Committee says. Its report, entitled The Cost of Complacency, says that for all the rhetoric about clamping down and sanctioning Russian oligarchs, not enough action has so far been taken. In particular, the committee says there is a mismatch between the measures announced and the resources available to law enforcement to go after their targets. A substantial increase in funding for the National Crime Agency and Serious Fraud Office is needed, it says, or the risk is that they will be toothless.
It's also where the U.S. is imposing restrictions on dozens of foreign firms believed to be helping Russia's military with its war in Ukraine, prompting a complaint today from Beijing.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Economics can play a role in the decision to have a child. In states that can now enforce their bans on abortion, a person seeking the procedure may have to pay the costs of travel to other states, costs they may not be able to bear. Blake Farmer of WPLN in Nashville reports.
Last year, Allison Folber of Goodlettsville, Tennessee, learned late in the first trimester that her unborn child had no skull. But her obstetrician couldn't do an abortion. It was considered elective. Planned Parenthood in Nashville couldn't either, so she had to book a flight to Atlanta.
As I was, you know, doing the logistics for this termination for the abortion, I constantly was like, what if I didn't have the money?
$700 for a last-minute flight, nearly that much for a couple nights in a hotel. Add in the cost of the abortion not covered by insurance, she was well over $2,000. Plus, she had help, a sister flying in from Seattle to watch her one-year-old so her partner could travel with her.
What if I didn't have a family member? What if I didn't have a supportive family member?
And as a marketing executive, she had as much paid time off as she needed. Folber realized she faced these challenges from a perch of privilege.
It actually hit me before I even got on the plane.
People have already had to travel across state lines for an abortion in places like Tennessee that have many restrictions to access. But now with an all-out ban, abortion rights advocates here and other abortion ban states have spun up what they call navigator programs, essentially travel agents for those in need of options. They link pregnant people with providers in other states and raise money to pay travel costs. Dr. Edward Hills says the alternative for his patients is trying something potentially dangerous on their own.
We're very fearful about that. The sky is falling.
But he adds that abortion has always cost most women something. Hills leads the OBGYN program at Meharry Medical College, a historically black school, and many of his patients are low income.
Even though people are poor, when it comes to these kind of decisions, money comes from somewhere.
In the court case that overturned Roe v. Wade, more than 100 economists and researchers submitted a friend of the court brief. They cited studies showing delayed motherhood makes women more likely to finish college and land a professional career. Ashley Cofield leads Planned Parenthood of Tennessee and North Mississippi.
We know when somebody is forced to give birth when they're not ready, that it can just devastate their educational opportunities, their economic and job opportunities, and that gets passed on for generations.
She says that's why her Planned Parenthood is putting all its effort into fundraising and paying the way for women in need. But there's already a public effort to throw up roadblocks. Anti-abortion activists here say their next legislative fight is trying to limit abortions across state lines. In Nashville, I'm Blake Farmer for Marketplace.
In New York, I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.